Good morning. How many of you have received an invitation recently? Well, if you go on your email, if you have email and you go on it, at least at our household, we get like 50 to 100 emails every day inviting us by friendly stores and companies to come spend our money in there with their company. And you feel so warm and fuzzy that this company has remembered you. And, you know, they make you feel like, you know, I got one yesterday from Kmart. Today is your lucky day. It's like 50% off. And these companies make you feel so special with this invitation that they have sent you out. You and 10 million other people that they've sent this email to. But we get invited to a lot of things. It's summertime. Up here we have a graduation invitation. We got a lot of weddings, picnics, whatever. But it's nice to get invited to things, for the most part. But sometimes we respond differently to different invitations that we get. Sometimes we have an all-in response. We're excited. We want to be a part of the event. We want to go to the celebration. My niece got married back in July, and we had an all-in response to that. We were excited to see my niece get married. Sometimes there's some hesitation. What's going to happen at this event? Who's going to be there that I know? And sort of some hesitation in really wanting to give a yes to that invitation. Sometimes it's an obligation. It usually comes up with like family stuff. This is a family thing. Don't really want to go, but it's family, so we have to go. Or else, you know, they came to our thing, so we got to go to their thing type. You know, so it's not like a real enthusiastic yes, but it's out of obligation to maybe keep peace in the family or whatever. And then finally, what excuse can I come up with? If we really don't want to do it, we don't want to take the time, what excuse can I come up with to get out of this invitation? And sometimes the excuses are legitimate, that you already had other things planned, but sometimes the excuses are not really true. They just are made up to help us get out of the situation. We're going to talk about God's invitation today. And God has sent each person on earth an invitation to accept Him as their God, and to serve Him each day. And probably looking around, most people have already in this church, if not all, have accepted the Lord as their Savior and have been baptized. It doesn't end there. We are invited every day to be a servant of God. So we've accepted Him as our Savior, but the invitation continues each day of our lives. The nice thing about this invitation is our reward, if we accept it, is an eternal banquet with our Heavenly Father. An eternal banquet. That is what I think every Christian's goal is, to end up with our Heavenly Father. As in the reading, to walk through those gates. That is our goal. What we're going to look at today is what is our response to God's invitation. Our main story for this is going to be the parable of the wedding banquet out of Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." By telling his disciples this parable, Jesus was letting them know that everything is prepared for us in heaven. If you remember before Jesus' death, he talked to his apostles. He said, "I am going ahead of you to prepare a place in heaven for you." So everything is prepared for us. It's like you when you walk into a wedding reception and all of the tables are already set up and everything. God has everything prepared for us in heaven. The way He prepared heaven for us is through His plan of salvation. That is the only way that we are able to go into those heavenly gates is through God's love and mercy that He showed in His plan of salvation. And instead of butchering an oxen and a fattened cow, God showed His love for us by allowing His Son to be sacrificed on the cross to help us know how much we are loved and hopefully to get us to accept His invitation more readily. Now we get to some of the responses that Jesus told in the parable. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So many people ignore God's invitation, and they start to put other parts of their lives in front of God's invitation. They put their jobs, they put hobbies, they put family, they put their time in front of God's invitation. Some people, just like in the story, they responded with anger and they murdered the poor servants who just came. "We're inviting you to a wedding banquet and you kill us." I mean, like, some people, when they hear of God's invitation, they respond with anger and say, "Wait a minute, you're telling me about a loving God and we got famine, we got war, we got terrorism, we got sickness in my family. You're telling me about a loving God who is inviting me to heaven and we have all these problems on earth?" They don't realize God's not the one doing these problems. He's not the one creating these problems. That's human choice that's creating these problems. But too many people treat God like a genie. "I'm going to rub my lamp, God, and I want you to grant these wishes." And when God doesn't do it, all of a sudden God doesn't love them. No, that's not how it works. God does allow all these things to happen so that we can turn to Him, so that we can grow in our faith and accept His invitation to be a follower of Him. God wants everyone to accept His invitation. But on that final day, if God has been extending that invitation to you all of your life and you never accepted it, you're not getting in. He's going to take that invitation away and say, "You had a lifetime to accept that invitation, and you never did. You're not welcome anymore." Now, here is an example of an all-in response. The calling of the first disciples, and this was out of Mark. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. What an example those first disciples set for us. Here comes this man. I don't even know how well they knew Jesus. And they just dropped everything and accepted Jesus' invitation to become a fisher of men. They left behind their families. They left behind their business. And they just followed, maybe like a stranger to them, because there was something in Jesus' invitation that made them just want to do it. Do we give God each day that all-in response? response to His invitation? Are we excited every day to turn our lives over to God, as Dave was talking about in Sunday school, and let Him direct us through our days? Are we excited to let people know about our Savior each day? Do we give an all-in response like those first disciples? Unfortunately, this is where I fall in way too many times. A hesitant or a lukewarm response. I don't know about you guys, but this is where I fall in too many times. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." This is the same story, but this is out of Luke, so a little bit maybe different version. What excuses do we make for not putting God first in our lives? Instead of, "I've just bought a new field," I could be saying, "I just got some new golf clubs. I got to go try them out, you know, see how they work for me." You know, "I just got married." Boy, that's an excuse for a lot of things to try to get out of. But unfortunately, people, including myself, come up with excuses for not putting God first in our lives. Now, the beautiful thing about this invitation is we can always serve God. It says in the Bible, whatever you do, do to glorify God. So I could be on the golf course, and I could be glorifying God. I could be in my workplace and still glorify God. As the kids get ready to go back to school, we can, even though we're doing other things, how we live our lives still gives us that chance to accept God's invitation by the example that we set each day. Am I setting a good example on the golf course? I'm serving God. Am I setting a good example at work or at school? I'm serving God. So we have that chance every day in the choices that we make to accept God's invitation. How do you think God feels when He gets lukewarm responses and excuses from the people He loves and wants to spend eternity with? Here is a God who has planned a heaven for us, or who has a heaven for us, that maybe we can't comprehend how great it's going to be. And we're like, "I don't know, God. I don't know. I don't know if I want to accept Your invitation." You know, we just don't understand the greatness that awaits us. God's probably pretty disappointed. "I sacrificed my son for you guys." And you're like, "Really? Maybe tomorrow, God, I'll do a better job," or something like that. Yeah. This is what God thinks of lukewarm responses. And this is out of Revelation. He said this to the church of Laodicea. Hopefully I said that right. "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Sort of makes you not want to be lukewarm anymore. God wants to spit you out of His mouth. He would rather have you like turn totally away from Him, it sounds like, than be lukewarm. Definitely something I got to be working on. Here is an example of an obligatory response. This is out of Matthew 19. "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which ones?' he inquired. Jesus replied, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So that young man is like, do I really have to do that? More is expected of us as we grow in our faith. Now this young man, he felt really good about himself. He thought he was accepting God's invitation and doing everything he needed to do. In this case, he was doing everything he felt he needed to do to be a good Jew. He was following all the rules. He was following the Ten Commandments and just checking them off and checking them off and feeling pretty good. But he wasn't, I get the impression from this story, he wasn't doing it out of love. He was doing it just so he could say, look at me. I'm following all these rules. But then Jesus hit a chord with him and said, you want to be better than what you are right now? Give all your possessions to the poor. Jesus knew that that guy loved his possessions. And when Jesus told him that and invited him to follow him by giving away his possessions, the man's acceptance wavered. As we grow in our faith and we mature in our faith, God wants us to do more with our faith. You know, the life that we led, the choices that we made when we weren't a Christian or when we were in the early stages of Christianity, God expects us to do better as we grow in our faith. He expects more out of us. He expects us to set a better example each day, to make better choices. Are we still up for that invitation? The more that's expected of us, does that make us waver in our acceptance? Hopefully it doesn't. And finally, to end the parable, Jesus talks about how they're preparing to enter the feast. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Found it a little bit humorous in this, that the king goes up to the guy and says, how'd you get in here, friend? And then he has him tied up and thrown outside. I thought that was a little bit, I like the word choice there, but, you know, we are all invited, but just like that man who didn't wear the wedding clothes, our lives have to reflect our worthiness. Yes, we are invited. That's the first step, accepting that invitation. But our lives have to show our worthiness to enter the banquet. In Sunday school, Dave talked about the devil. Devil also has an invitation for us. He invites us every day to his feast. He invites us every day to turn away from God's feast and come to his. And his might seem a little bit neater to attend. You can do whatever you want here on earth. But just enjoy the burning lake of sulfur at the end. That will be that's his feast, according to Revelation. So yes, Satan also has a feast for us. And our lives are going to tell God which feast we would rather attend. On Judgment Day, God will decide our worthiness to enter his banquet. We as Christians, hopefully our lives reflect our gratitude and love for even receiving an invitation. Because our lives, with the sins that we do, maybe we don't deserve an invitation. But God forgets about all that. He loves us. He invites all. And hopefully our lives show our worthiness to enter those gates in our white robes and be with God forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and your willingness to invite us to your heavenly banquet even though we sin. We thank you for your willingness to forgive our sins and to give that chance to us over and over again to redeem for the mistakes that we've made. We pray, Lord, that we may grow in our faith, that we may accept your invitation with an all-in response every day, excited to serve you and excited to help others to find their way to you. We pray, Lord, that you may please be with us. Please help us, Lord, to allow you to guide us through our days and make choices that are pleasing to you, so that one day when we come to your gates, you will say, "You led a worthy life. Come join me." In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church invites you to come forward if you would like. The prayers of the church for anything that is on your mind, any need that you might have, or if you've never been baptized and want to become a part of God's family, you can come forward also at this time as we sing.